So,
if everyone wants to turn to number 239 to sing the Lord's name together, the Lord of the Story Gates, number 239 in the brown place. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Jerry, do you want a microphone?
That's okay. My singing's not good enough to work the microphone. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Bestow on us, we pray, O Lord, a spirit of always pondering on what is right, and of hastening to carry it out. And since without you we cannot exist, may we be enabled to live according to your will. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. I would ask for the reading to be proclaimed. Remember, this is all being recorded for a podcast, so we have to have it through here.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the learning of the learned I will set aside. Where is the wise one? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made the wisdom of the world foolish? For since the wisdom of God, the world did not come to know God through wisdom. It was the will of God through the foolishness of the proclamation to save those who have faith. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, Jews and Greeks alike, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As I always say, beware of all men without a script. Here's the script. People from Grace Church have a very young rector, so they don't have to worry about this yet. The most famous execution in the classical world was of Socrates, the Greek philosopher. He was accused of corrupting the youth of Athens, and although he could have plea bargained, it would have meant exile from Athens. And at 70, he just refused to go. He accepted death by poison. But this was done in a room with his friends and his students. The most famous student, Plato, left this memorial. "I understand," said Socrates, "that we can and must pray to the gods that our sojourn on earth will continue happy beyond the grave. This is my prayer, and may it come to pass." With these words, he stoically drank the potion, quite readily and cheerfully. Up to this moment, most of us were able, with some decency, to hold back our tears. But when we saw him drinking the poison to the last drop, we could restrain ourselves no longer. He said, "You are strange fellows. What is wrong with you? I sent the women away for this very purpose, to stop their creating such a scene. I have heard that one should die in silence. So please be quiet and keep control of yourselves." These words made us ashamed, and we stopped crying. As the chill sensation got to his waist, Socrates said his last words, "Crito, we owe a cup to Acephalus. Do pay it. Don't forget." "Of course," said Crito. "Do you want to say anything else?" There was no reply to this question, but after a while he gave a slight stir, and the attendant uncovered him and examined his eyes. Then Crito saw that he was dead. He closed his mouth and eyelids. This was the end of our friend, the best, the wisest, and the most upright man of any I have ever known. What a splendid, what a ennobling death. A man taking his life into his own hands and surrendering it for a higher good. Surely, this is the height of humanity. Compare that to the death of Jesus. He could not choose the manner of his execution, and was not performed in the comfort of a friend's villa. Crucifixion was the most savage death imaginable, which sought not only to kill its victim physically, but socially as well. The crucified was to disappear from the world. So fearsome was crucifixion that it could never be done to a Roman citizen, and the great orator Cicero said that it should not even be mentioned. Indeed, it rarely was. Many were crucified, always in the most public place possible, but there are virtually no depictions of it. Most of what we know of the mechanics comes from archaeology. Christians, too, sought to banish the cross, sometimes quite literally. The first clear representation of the crucifixion may be seen on the door of Santa Sabina Church on the Aventine Hill in Rome. It was constructed around the 5th century. The point of the book that we are using for these reflections is that we are still doing this today. The problem for Christians is that the cross is not only an embarrassment, it is a constant reproach to what many wish religion to be. Yet it is only the cross that shows us what salvation really is. The writers of the New Testament were clearly aware of this. The Gospels, particularly St. Mark, have been described as passion narratives with teachings attached. If the proverbial man on the street knew anything at all about Jesus, it would have been that he was crucified, and therefore a person of the lower orders destroyed by Rome. The evangelists could not have hidden this and emphasized that he was vindicated by God. Paul, as we have seen in the readings for today's service, goes further. Human wisdom is not only insufficient to comprehend the cross, it can be a distraction from the message of the cross. What we call religion is often more a creation of human wisdom than a revelation from God. Freud and countless others have said that religion reflects wish fulfillment, our collective desire to escape. But who would wish the cross? Who would wish to follow a leader who has been socially expunged? We have seen this from the very beginning. Although Paul loved the Corinthians, he was aware of their desire to reflect the social customs of their day. He had to tell them that when they worshiped, they needed to share the food and not the rich eat lavishly while the poor ate frugally at best. This is more than a problem for the Corinthians. The cross judges the social order of every time and place, from the most serious moral infractions to the simplest and pettiest things. It judges our society as well. The most ancient and persistent enemy of Christianity is the belief that one is saved by having the right knowledge. It is usually called Gnosticism, but it is a hydra with 100 heads. We see many today. Oh, we only need to be good people. We need to have the right ideas or express the right feelings, vote for the right political party or support the right causes. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with this, and it may indeed reflect a certain wisdom, but it is a wisdom that cannot save. The physical reality of the cross, particularly, is a clear statement that the crucified is repudiated by the political and social order, and that stands above and beyond this human wisdom. Our author, Reverend Rutledge, will discuss 8 different ways in which the cross may be seen as salvific. But before we examine any of them, which I think will be the last 2 of these sessions, we must acknowledge this fundamental reality. Jesus died a rejected outcast in unutterable pain and unbelievable suffering. Perhaps one reason why this book has attained such extraordinary stature so quickly is that Reverend Rutledge has exposed a dirty little secret among Christians. We would prefer Socrates to Jesus, a wonderful teacher who believed what he said so completely that he would die for it and leave a most inspiring legacy. The Bible will have none of this. The cross will have none of this. The cross reveals that in Jesus, we do not have the Savior we want. We have the Savior we need. I would ask that you now go to the narthex again. And it's almost 8 o'clock, maybe 20 minutes. Discuss what we have read in the book. Perhaps ask these questions. Would your faith be changed if Jesus died by decapitation, like St. Paul? And what are the elements in our society which help us to understand the importance of the crucifixion? So again, please go to the back. There's still plenty of coffee and food. Feel free to munch.
So happy. Yes, just get up earlier.
For version of this bouncing in a great church. And that's where it came from.
you. Have a lovely evening. And this will be on our website relatively soon.